And it's not easy. Once you've fallen in a well, it's hard to get out. But still.
But if you have that, if you have tasted that higher taste, then you know that is kind of a motivation to go back there as well. I mean, when you fall down, you know that, you know, that is what you're going to be tasting again.
Yeah, that higher taste. And when you're in a well, there's two alternatives. One is you try and crawl out, which may be a really difficult thing. And the other is if someone throws you a rope. So the rope, which the figuratively speaking, which the Vedas talk about, is the rope of knowledge, the rope of transcendental knowledge. Because we see what material knowledge does. Knowledge is a very powerful thing. It changes your perception, it changes the way you see things, it changes your life. So, and it can change it for the worse, and it can change it also for the better. And that's why we're in a society with unparalleled education. And we educate ourselves to death. Primary school, and secondary school, and university, and master's degree, and PhD, and it just goes on. So, because we realize that knowledge has real power. It has power to achieve material things. But the same spiritual knowledge is the same thing. And spiritual knowledge is much more complex than this material knowledge. So scientists have been trying to figure out what matter is. They don't know. We call it atoms, but we don't really quite know exactly what's inside that atom, and whether it's a quark or whether it's that dark particle, and what's the small. So if so many scientists, so many intelligent people can't figure out what the smallest thing is in creation, what to speak of the creation and the source of the creation, and what to speak of ourselves. So it requires investment, it requires study. And that knowledge is what is why we have the Vedas, the Vedic literature. And the essence of that is the Bhagavad Gita. So Prabhupada, my spiritual master, would say that you can solve every problem of life through the Bhagavad Gita. It only has 700 verses. But if you know how to apply those 700 verses, and ultimately it will resolve all issues. So it's like the cream or the essence of knowledge. Are we limited?
We have the chair people coming soon.
The chair people?
Yeah. Well, five to ten.
Only people for the chairs.
Another chair people. 5 to 10 minutes.
One last question. If you could share any experience with Prabhupada, you have seen him, you learned from him. If you could tell us something about him, what's your point of view, how he was, what he means to you, anything, any experience you had with him.
We're what we call conditioned souls. We're here in this world and we're trying to elevate ourselves. Prabhupada wasn't of this world. Prabhupada descended, came from Krishna to fulfill this particular mission of giving people the opportunity to chant Hare Krishna all over the world. Prior to that, no one even knew what kirtan was. Kirtan has become a fad. No one knew what kirtan was prior to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada spent a lot of time. He woke up at midnight. Prabhupada went to sleep at 10 o'clock at night, and he got up at midnight. And from midnight to 6 o'clock, he just wrote his commentaries on these books. So, and Prabhupada said as much. He said that Krishna asked him to come to write these books. They're the rope. If we take advantage of that rope, if we take benefit from that rope, it can actually pull us out. That knowledge that can change our vision, that can reshape the way that we see things, and we see things in a different way, because, you know, this looks like a cushion. This is not a cushion. This is just atoms. You can't see the atoms. But our knowledge, with knowledge we know that the atoms are there. Even though it's very soft. But the atoms aren't soft, the atoms are hard. So when you have knowledge, your perception of things changes. And when you have spiritual knowledge, then you see not only just beyond the atoms, and not only just beyond the matter, but you also actually see the ultimate spiritual force and the spiritual energy that underlies everything. And that type of vision comes, as we were mentioning earlier, through the purification of the heart, as the heart becomes cleansed. You want to ask one thing? I said maybe three things: knowledge, consciousness, existence, and bliss or happiness. Three things. That's what spiritual Sat-Chit-Ananda. That's what the soul is made of. Yes. No, there's a soul in every single cell, and there may be all kinds of organisms in our bodies as well. There's different types of microbes and so on. They all have a soul, but over and above that, there's my soul, which is dominating this body. And yes, you could say in a kingdom, this king is also one person, and there's many other subjects. So by nature of my karma, my soul has this body, which, like you point out, there's many souls in this body. Because the soul is very, very tiny. Very, very small. It's described to be 1/10,000th the tip of the hair. It's a small, it's atomic in size. It's very powerful. But because of our association with matter, then it's like a light bulb. If you paint the light bulb black, then there's no light. Even though there's a lot of power to the light bulb. So the power of the mantra is to cleanse all of that type of covering or that gunk that covers the soul. And that's ultimately that we get peace of mind, that we really feel connected, our secondary effects of the mantra. But the primary, one of the primary effects is Chaito Dharpana Marjana, is that it actually cleanses the heart, like Janavi was saying, it cleanses the heart. And ultimately, it actually awakens the inherent love that's in everyone's heart. What's love? When this knowledge, spiritual knowledge and bliss, when they unite, that's what love is. Which is another topic. People talk about love, but it's a word. And then some kind of emotions that they identify with this, but actually love is different than those emotions that we're talking about. Love depends upon a certain type of consciousness, and it's associated with that transcendental happiness. Yeah. Someone's back. Hare Krishna. That type of work or service is good, but ultimately, if someone's a doctor, you have to learn how to be a doctor of the soul, not just a doctor of the body. And you have to know how to keep a balance. You have to have a balanced life. So you have to eat. Well, how much should you eat? Well, if you eat too much, then you get sick. If you eat too little, you get sick. So you have to exercise. If you exercise too much, that's also unnecessary. And if you don't exercise, that's not good. So similarly, we need to know what a balanced life is. That we make a certain degree of effort in terms of our profession. We need to be able to practice perfect ourselves and to actually achieve our own mission in life. And then you die. And they die. And everyone keeps dying. And everyone keeps dying. It's useful, but it's temporary, and it doesn't help anyone from the spiritual point of view.
Yoga is kind of a duty. I think it's a part of the duties we should be doing anyways, but that is not the food for our soul. So if you're giving them
you're neglecting the essence. You can't help other people. You may help them physically, but that's still not helping them spiritually. And the first thing you can really do is to be able to save yourself. So, physician, heal yourself. So, you solve the main disease. And the main disease is not cancer, and it's not something else. But the main disease is if you have a body. That's a disease. Now, if you're a doctor, you solve the problem if you've got a material body. If you don't have a material body, you don't have disease, you don't get sick. So the problem is that as a result of our past activities, we're stuck in this body. And the body itself is already, you could say, something like a cancer on the soul. You have to study. How do you know you wanted to be a doctor instead of something else? But whatever, if someone decides. So ultimately, people should see different paths. They should see which of those that have greatest merit and which of those which are fully consistent, and then ultimately stick with it. That's our own individual responsibility. We're responsible for that. It's not someone else's responsibility. So like if you want to have a profession, you have to decide, well, what do I want to be? Do I want to be a doctor, a lawyer, an engineer, something? You make that decision. But similarly, there may be different types of yoga systems, there may be different gurus, there may be different religions. All right. To do an analytic comparison between them all and see which is most suitable for you or which you think actually gives the most comprehensive process for liberation. And then you stick with it. Because the have to stick with something. Better not continue in the next life. Better if we can try and finish things off in this life. Because the world's not getting to, it's not getting to be a better place. And we're given this opportunity because the chanting of this mantra it's a very rare thing. The chanting of the Maha Mantra was not really accessible and not done in such a public way in the past. It was very secret and very confidential thing that was only available to some very realized souls. They can just collect the chairs.
This is Amar, Patrick, and Shruti. So there are friends. They come and help regularly. However, he was very inspired by your blog. And since then, he's been sharing that with his colleagues. I think the veggie vegan actually changed their diet.
We can, hopefully sometime we can spend a little time together. Yeah, that veggie vegan is important because although on one side we're definitely in full support that we can't relate to the meat industry. On the other hand, it happens to be a power thing. So we can't be vegan. And but in circumstances where there's no other milk products available, then yeah, we should find alternatives. Because it's entangling, there's karma involved, and intellectually, ethically, it looks hard. It's important. So having that type of conviction that yes, we need to adjust our life, our lifestyle needs to be such that we don't make any more problems for ourselves than we already have. So really, karma yoga is about learning how to work in such a way that you don't bring any more problems for yourself. If you want to know what karma is, you look in the mirror. That's our karma. Everyone. Start now. You start by the chanting. You start by chanting. You start with chanting. If you have Bhagavad Gita, you start at the beginning. And the beginning is trying to come to grips with the distinction between matter and spirit. Because it's an education that we don't get. We're only educated in matter in school. There's no distinction being made. We don't get any information about what is the soul of, source of life. You know, as far as we're concerned, life comes from matter. That's not the case. Life comes from life. Living human beings give birth to living human beings. Human beings don't take birth from dead matter. So this whole science of life is being neglected. And that's the living part of the world. We're spending all our energy in the dead part of the world, which is matter. Matter is not a living thing. And it's life. When we leave this body, what happens? It simply decomposes. Life in this body comes from the soul. And when that soul goes, this body doesn't move anymore. So the science of the soul, the science of life, is completely abandoned and neglected. Life. And that's what we're trying to do. That's what this is about. That's what the blogs are about. to actually bring awareness that the most essential and functional part of the world, which is the living part, we're neglecting. And we're going along with illusion that this is reality. And we're identifying ourselves with something that's completely alien to us, which is dead matter. And this is dead matter. But as soon as the soul leaves, when you say, it's dead. Actually, it's always dead. It's only because the life is inside of it that it actually moves and functions. So, what is the real responsibility of that living thing? Why is it here in this world? And what's it meant to achieve? That's what life is about. Life is about the living thing, not about the dead thing. So this is actually an educational institution. We're presenting it as here's an event and here are laws, but actually the whole essence of real knowledge, spiritual knowledge, originally of religion, is to focus people on the reality of life, the mission of life in this world, and not to get entangled in the dead things that are around us. Use them, but use them as an instrument. Not that we have become an instrument of these dead things. In fact, we become a slave to all of these material things. And it's frustrating. It's a frustrating experience. And that's why we have seen so much dissatisfaction. There was no such thing as psychiatrists before Freud. There wasn't a need for psychiatrists. People lived a much more simple, self-satisfied, purposeful life. Villages were centered around the temple, the church, the synagogue, whatever. That was the social center. Everything was happening around there. It was the spiritual focus. People knew this is what life was about, and then feeding myself and taking care of the necessities of life. All right, everyone's got to do that. But keep it to a minimum, rather than let's see how far we can increase it, higher and higher and higher. So we're trying to. Krishna says, get out of this forest of illusion. We're really lost in this forest. And if you're lost, how do you get out? You need a map. And Bhagavad Gita is the roadmap of how to get out of this bewildered state of the world. Knowledge will give you faith, because you have knowledge about something, and does it fit with what you see, what you observe, and you put that knowledge into practice, and do you get the result? So you take hydrogen and oxygen and you mix the two together and you get water, and therefore you have faith that yes, water is hydrogen and oxygen. So you have to start, you come out with what you start, that belief that you start with is confirmed, that knowledge is confirmed by the experiment that you perform. So, and Krishna gives this very, you know, it's such a very simple example, and yet it's so hard for people to grasp, that the body is always changing. We experience that we don't change, therefore we're not this body. Nowhere is this taught in school. Nowhere does anyone teach us who we are. Everyone teaches us what we should be and how we should fit into the wall, a brick wall of society and be another brick. You know, but it doesn't start off with, well, who are we really? So there's that knowledge, and you have to put that knowledge to practice. All right, think about it. And go through that experiment. This is an intellectual experiment, but if you think over it, over it, put up boyhood, youth, old age. If you remember when you were a little girl, when you were a little boy, your body's changed, your thinking has changed, so many things have changed. What is it that hasn't changed? And if you're within a vehicle that's always changing, but you're not, then you can't be that thing. So, but what is that thing you can't see? Because we don't have the vision to see. It's by nature a different type of substance. It's a spiritual thing. It's a transcendental thing. But with the eyes of knowledge, we can actually begin. Ultimately, one can develop the vision to see so as well, in the same way that you can develop the vision to see God. But you have to be willing to do the experiment. So, Bible says, faith cometh from knowledge.
Surely we have nothing to know about. We only have stuff to remember. Because if we're the soul knows everything. So surely it's about remembering. We already know everything deep down. And on a higher level, we know everything already. So it's all about remembering. So surely isn't life about remembering everything that we know already? So an experiment is something you're actually remembering. Something you already know.
No, you have to know first, because there's so much other things, false things also, that's trapped within the mind. And therefore, you can't distinguish between reality and illusion. It has to be distinguished for you. It's the same way. Why did you learn mathematics if it's already within you? So if it was up to you, you still wouldn't know how to do quadratic equations or so on. We have to learn it. The knowledge may be there, but there's a lot of other things that's in there as well.
Do you think the education system is not doing a good job in extracting deep down what you know? But what the education system is doing is putting stuff into you. Well, some of it is useful knowledge. It's put rather than isn't. Shouldn't good education be bringing out stuff inside that you already know deep down?
No, but we're not talking about education is one thing. We're talking actually about knowledge of the self and everything that relates to the knowledge of the self.
Knowledge of the self is an education as well.
Well, not the education that you go to. It doesn't teach you. So you don't go anywhere that teaches you about the knowledge.
Oh, no, I'm asking you, should education be about?
Yes, very much. It should be the first thing.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, there's no self-realization 101 anywhere. Yes, it should be. But it's education that we need, and it brings out, but what it brings out is knowledge that we inherently know, but because there's so much other things that mixed in, it has to be separated out as to what's actually reality, real knowledge, and what's incorrect knowledge. Because unfortunately there's a lot of false knowledge as well.
Yeah.
I think we need to move a little. Thank you so much for everyone coming here. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. I'm getting something for you. I'm leaving it here. Please do take it.
I'll put it up here. Don't keep it. Thank you very much.
Just put it in this chair hiring company.
Oh.
She just wanted to say bye.
You brought the chairs for us?
Yes.
Thank you very much. And they're very nice.
They came from Kent. So now they've got to go back to Kent.
Oh. Yeah, you saved us at the last minute. We had difficulty unlocking them from the temple. What's your good name?
Rashford.
Yes.
First name is Patel. I'm living in Germany. I visit also in Bologna, in Molo, between Munich and Nuremberg, in
Come visit our place in Hungary. You ever go to Hungary?
No, I was once in 75, 76 on those days.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, long time ago.
Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Very kind of you. Thank you for helping us out.
Can I get a picture taken with
you? Yes, let's have a picture.
2018 Fest.
You sit here.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
We're fine.